Lots of first-round picks on the ice tonight and tomorrow night. As Game 7's first time since 2000, only the second time since 1968, that we will see both the East and West Conference have Game 7's to decide their winners. Tampa Bay, New York Rangers. Should be a heck of a game. Patrick Kearns from the fourth period joins us. Patrick, history says the Rangers never lose. Tampa Bay, of course, says, well, they've never played us in Game 7. Henrik Lundqvist, though, just mentally, you know, this guy's being lights out when Game 7 comes on.
Yeah, absolutely. He's now 15-3 in his last 18 elimination games. The Rangers are 7-0 in their last Game 7s at Madison Square Garden. Every statistic you can think of points this game into the Rangers' favor. But again, none of those Game 7s are against the Tampa Bay Lightning. There's a lot of ex-Rangers over there, guys that have experienced this in Tampa Bay now. And, you know, every single game is a different animal. So it should be a great game tonight.
Well, this series has been so unique because just when we thought, okay, it's going to be low scoring like it was after Game 1, then they just erupt for a boatload of goals. And there's really every game since, there's been a ton of offense when not a lot of people were expecting that in this series. Based on past history, I'd say, okay, the Rangers are going to be able to shut it down. Do you think the Rangers can shut the Lightning down offensively again? And can the Rangers score 5-plus for the fourth time in the series?
Well, it's funny because with the Rangers, it had been maybe the first team that gets the 2 is going to win the game. But in this series, it seems like we're playing the 1-5 is going to win the game. But for the Rangers, you know, it comes down, obviously, to Henrik Lundqvist needs to be on his game. Tampa's going to get their chances. They're going to get their shots. This needs to be one of those, 38 save, one goal allowed games for Henrik Lundqvist, I think, for the Rangers to have a shot, because I think Tampa's going to throw everything they have at the Rangers. They've done a pretty good job so far kind of managing the damage, but Tampa has still been really dangerous in every game. I mean, look, even last game, they get 3 goals, and Henrik Lundqvist didn't look great, but he was good when he had to be, which was in the second period. So Lundqvist needs to keep the Rangers in as long as he possibly can tonight and let the Rangers take their chances against Bishop.
Pat, who's been the best Ranger player not named Henrik Lundqvist so far in the playoffs?
Surprisingly, in this series, I think it's been JT Miller, the rookie, who's gotten a bump up to the first line. He was scratched a lot in the earlier year. It seems every time he's on the ice, he's just making things happen. You know, from a forward perspective overall, it's probably been Derek Brassard, but he's even had kind of stretches where his game has tapered off a little bit. The scoring hasn't come there. Obviously, he's got the hat trick in the 5-point game in Game 6. It's really propelled them to the win. He's going to be a guy they're going to lean on big time tonight.
Patrick Kearns from the fourth period joins us, help us preview Game 7 between the Rangers and the Lightning tonight. Out west, Pat, it seems like Rick Nash is kind of a public enemy number one for a lot of people on social media. I think he should be doing more. How do Ranger fans feel about Rick Nash, who only has 5 goals so far in the playoffs?
Well, it kind of depends on the day of the week that you ask them, and then I guess what the last game was. If you ask about Rick Nash off his 4-point performance in Game 6 where he scores a pair of goals, he has been doing everything right. It's just that the puck doesn't always go in, especially in the playoffs. Guys like Rick Nash, top scorers, get focused in on, zeroed in a little bit more. I mean, look at Steve Stamkos on the other side, who struggled to put the puck in the back of the net. He's one of the premier scorers in the league. It's just hard for these top guys sometimes, all the pressure that comes with it and all the focus of the other team's game plan. I think Rick Nash has been everything he's been advertised as. I think he's got like 14 points in 18 games now, which you can't ask for much more from a top-line player than that. But obviously, it's putting the puck in the back of the net, and if there's an off game where they struggle offensively, everyone looks to Rick Nash and says, well, this is the game that you need to score. So, for his sake, I hope he goes out there and scores a couple tonight and helps them win.
Patrick Kearns on the fourth period joined us. You mentioned JT Miller. He's coming off a season. He's a 1.4 cap hit, and he's just another one of the Ranger forwards. Him and Hagelin and Stepan and Faust, all RFAs. Who are the Rangers going to get rid of, Patrick, when you look at this team? Realistically, how are they going to get under the cap? Who they got to get rid of?
Well, I think it depends first on what Marty St. Louis wants to do in the offseason. He's looked like a diminished player. He carries the 5.5 cap charge, I believe. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He could potentially free up a lot of room for the Rangers to re-sign some of these guys and get them into their deals. Obviously, Dan Boyle's the other guy. I know he signed for another year. And I don't think he's been, you know, an awful player, but maybe there's a team that wants a veteran defenseman and takes him with 1 year left on his contract, and Glenn Staley looks to move that deal. And if not, I mean, it's going to be interesting and going to be really tight. That's what happens when you give big extensions to guys like Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi.
What's interesting about, you know, Marty St. Louis, and I like Marty St. Louis, but he's 40 years of age, and if you're the Rangers and you've got JT Miller and Hagelin and Foss and Stepan, these guys are going to be part of your team for the next 5 years. Marty St. Louis, you know, maybe 1 year at a time. He can't be their main priority.
Right, and absolutely. And I think with Marty St. Louis, and, you know, maybe it was an unspoken thing, he kind of came to New York to retire. He's got a home in Connecticut. He forced his way to the Rangers. He wanted his kids in the schools up here. I think this is where he wanted to end his career. So I think it'll be interesting. I don't want to speculate on anything, but I think if the Rangers won a Stanley Cup, it might be a pretty good place for Marty St. Louis to say goodbye.
Patrick Kearns from the Fourth Period joins us. Is there any chance that the Rangers move backup goaltender Cam Talbot this offseason, in your opinion?
I think it would be really smart to. I don't think his value will ever be higher, especially because he's not going to get a lot of work if Henrik Lundqvist stays healthy. You know, having a backup goaltender only so much when Henrik Lundqvist is the goalie, and Lundqvist is signed for the next 7 years after this one. So it would be smart for the Rangers to look and see what he can get on the open market. Talbot obviously proved himself. He played a lot of tough games this year. He did really well in those tough games this year. He doesn't have a huge body of work, but, you know, he proved himself to be an above-average goaltender for the Rangers. So now they can go out and maybe hopefully get a second-round pick or something for him.
Pat, I just want to get your thoughts on head coach Alain Vigneault. Quietly, he's put together multiple trips to the finals, multiple Jack Adams nominees. Coming in after John Tortorella may have been a interesting move, but how do you think Alain Vigneault has handled being in New York as he has his team on the verge of back-to-back Stanley Cup final appearances?
I think he's really just done a masterful job. I actually wrote about it today in The Guardian. I think his approach is kind of unlike any other head coach you see, and it's funny to watch all these other guys come in. You know, John Cooper, you know, is full of cliches and platitudes, but he speaks really strongly, and Alain Vigneault comes in and is so measured, and it seems like everything is such a calculated thing he says. He calls his group task-oriented and says they're professionals. You know, it's just such an almost stuffy professional feeling with the New York Rangers that it's just their goal to go out there and win. You know, he doesn't play up the emotional aspect of things. He doesn't play up the moment. And I think it's kind of been perfect for this group, who really are just a lot of professional hockey players going out there to play his system. And obviously that's the biggest thing. He's implemented a system that's gotten the most out of these players. And obviously the wins have followed.
Who are you taking, Patrick?
I think the Rangers win, because anytime you can go into a one game decides all. I like my odds with Henrik Lundqvist.
And who do you like in the West?
I think I'm picking the Blackhawks just based on experience, but, and man, that game could go either way. It could go into 14 overtimes, or one of those teams could put up six. That's kind of the beauty of hockey. But, you know, I take my chances with these guys in Chicago that have all been there.
Hard to argue that. Enjoy the series. Well, I guess enjoy the game tonight and then the ensuing Stanley Cup Finals.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Patrick Kearns from the Fourth Period.